Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. But they've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden here on a Monday. Chuck and Julie Show brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com and DenverCenogenics, Dr. Julie McCallan, bringing you, as always, the truth straight up. Lots of that necessary these days.
You don't get much.
No. That's one of the things we'd like to do is just say, okay, look, here's how we see it. You may agree with us. You may disagree with us. But it's like, hey, look, this is what's really going on. There's so much spin anymore being put on everything. At 3:30, we're going to talk to John Conlon. He's a great writer based here in Colorado, has a new column up in AM Greatness, essentially saying, you know, are we squandering everything America has worked for, everything that's made this country great? Are we squandering it all right now, like rich kids whose parents, you know, who don't appreciate the hard work their parents put in? And he notes just how, you know, critical race theory aside, just how awful kids are performing as they're coming out of the public school education. So we'll be talking to him about that. But in the interest of two straight up, two big stories going on today, that essentially it's all like spin, and it's the mainstream media lying. George Stephanopoulos, who is a Clintonista, basically, right? Worked with the Clinton administration.
He was a press secretary for a while. He helped run the campaign.
Yeah, deeply involved. It works for ABC News, which don't even get me started on the conflict of interest there, did an interview, which is airing on Hulu, with Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele is the infamous author, and I use the term loosely, of the so-called Trump P dossier.
The dossier, exactly.
Yeah. That had all kinds of claims in it. So you got to ask yourself why in the report, it's interesting. And I haven't seen the entire Hulu documentary, but I've seen the ABC snippets. In the report, ABC acknowledges that everyone from Robert Mueller to congressional campaigns, I mean, everybody acknowledges that the Steele dossier was just a bunch of garbage that Steele made up at the behest of people in the Clinton campaign.
That's
a short version.
I mean, he's former member of MI6, and so he has a nice British accent. But basically what he did is they paid him $250,000.
Being people trying to boost the Hillary Clinton
Perkins
campaign.
And others. And he said, great. So he went over and talked to his friend, Igor Tachenko, who's with the Russian-American Chamber of Commerce. And he gave him, you know, various rumors. And then he went over to Oleg Kazaska, who is a billionaire, who Steele actually worked for, and he told him about the P tape, and then he put them all in. The trouble is, then even George Stephanopoulos kind of goes, well, there's no proof that Michael Cohen was in Prague. I don't know if he was, he may have been. How do I know it's not true? What's really so amazing about it is when it came out, I read this Steele dossier.
Yeah, you said this back then. You're like,
this is garbage. It reads like garbage. It reads like somebody was talking to somebody. Somebody said, hey, you want to hear a rumor? You go, okay, you know, Hillary Clinton slept with two dogs or something. Okay, there it is.
Oh, there we go. And Russia's bribing her.
It was that the FBI gave it any credibility.
They didn't give it credibility.
Not arrest him right then and say, you know, lying to the FBI.
But it was all part of the main conspiracy, right? And I mean, protecting the deep state, Christopher Steele was neck deep in it. The question that I wanted to talk to about truth straight up is, why is ABC airing this? And why are they airing this in Hulu? And why are they airing this now? If you're a journalist, and I did this for 40 years, and let's say I'm interviewing Chuck, and there's absolute proof that Chuck robbed the bank. Everybody knows Chuck robbed the bank. We have videotape of Chuck robbing the bank. The jury convicted him. It's a done deal. And then I interview Chuck, and Chuck says, no, I didn't rob the bank, and then proceeds to report all the things that I already know are lies. And I just go, huh. I mean, you have, in the olden days, an ethical obligation to not put something that you know is directly a lie on. Now, granted, you're going to say, well, Julie, you're crazy. They know the Russia hoax thing was a lie from the beginning, and they've been reporting that. I know. I know. But the question is, why now? And here's what my theory is. I think the Durham, a couple things. The Durham report is kind of coming out and it's indicting.
Coming out.
Well, all right. There are Durham actions occurring. Let's put it that way. There is no report. I agree with you there. And it's tying people back to the Clinton campaign. I think it is no accident that George Stephanopoulos with his Clinton connections is the one who's doing the interview, right? This is clearly, I think, on one hand, damage control. And another hand, in one of the final pieces of the interview, George Stephanopoulos says, "So what you're saying, Christopher, after we've already talked about all of this stuff that's a lie, what you're saying is that as long as Trump is around as a political active player, he's a threat to national security." Yeah, and Christopher right. still goes, yes. Now, that just outlined this. So we had Jen Psaki today, who was asked about the Chinese having this super duper rocket that could attack us at any moment we can't see, right? And what is her response to that when she's like, "Hey, is the Biden administration worried about this at all? This Chinese advancement so far ahead of us?" And she goes, "We welcome the competition."
Welcome.
I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's like in World War II, did they
welcome their nuclear?
Yeah, we welcome the competition.
Werner von Braun gets to the nuclear bombs, but we do.
Yeah, I mean,
we welcome the competition.
Yeah, I mean, then you throw in the border, what's going on at the border.
We welcome the competition down there, too.
Afghanistan, and it's like, and Trump is the greatest threat to national security?
I assume this is part of a larger strategy. Somewhere in there to prevent too many people from getting indicted somehow. I'm not sure what actually would be.
Well, Nellie Orr, Bruce Orr, who gave the fake cone. So we've got some sound we're going to play from this. So to set up this the first soundbite we're going to use what happened was the NSA was allowing private contractors to, and this is fact, this is known, this judges have ruled on this, et cetera, was to access its supposed to be secret database and spy on whoever the heck they wanted to spy on. So Nellie Orr, who was Bruce Orr in the Department of Justice's wife, she's working for Fusion GPS as apparently.
Who's working with Perkins Coie? Who's working
with Right, who's working Hillary for the Clintons, Kim. Right, who is allowed access and apparently finds a Michael Cohen in Prague doing something bad, they theorize. With the
well,
Russians.
Not bad, but, well, no. But he was there, and therefore they could tie whoever the reason he was there because
they could tie it to Trump.
Right,
yeah. Trouble is, it wasn't the right Michael Cohen,
right.
The real Michael Cohen, who's bad enough. He hates Trump, right? Well, he has no reason to stand up for Trump, was never in Prague. So if we could play, but bizarrely, Steele sticks to his story, and ABC lets him. If we could play the Steele number one soundbite, please, TJ.
Said to ABC News, "I eagerly await Steele's next secret dossier, which proves the existence of Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, and that Elvis is still alive."
Do you think it hurts your credibility at all that you won't accept the findings of the FBI in this particular case?
I'm prepared to accept that not everything in the dossier is 100% accurate. I have yet to be convinced that that is one of them.
So, yeah. Michael Cohen was in Prague. He says, "I'm convinced that Michael." Now he's doing cover there, I think, for Nellie Orr, right? Because
I don't think he's covering. For
you don't think?
I don't think he's.
You don't.
He just enjoys, you know, just lying straight faced on camera because, you know, I've yet to be proven. Well, there isn't any proof, right?
Because it didn't happen. I mean, what he's doing, guys. And again, truth straight up. The proof is that Michael Cohen was not in Prague. There is plenty of proof that he was
including
Prague.
His passport and everything else, but he doesn't care. He said, you know, because there's no amount of proof that'll be good for Michael Steele. So where the P dossier has anything other than BS about it doesn't matter. He said, "Well, it hasn't been proven to me to the contrary." Well, who is trying to prove him to the contrary?
I mean, it's been proven to not be true. And here's the soundbite on that. If we could play the Steele number two soundbite, please.
So you stand by the dossier?
I stand by the work we did, the sources that we had, and the professionalism which we applied to it.
Bearing in mind that this was raw intelligence in the sense that what we sent over was the initial findings.
Raw intelligence is just that. It's like throwing a lot of stuff against the wall.
All the talk about this alleged tape, I bet you've heard about it. Virtually no evidence came forward in public to corroborate it.
It would be quite the tape if it became public. But it's now 5 years later, and we haven't seen a trace of it.
And today, do you still believe that that tape exists?
I think it probably does, but I wouldn't put 100% certainty on it.
So again, why is ABC, they have their own people out there and they interview all these other people who say, yeah, it's not true. No, we know it's not true. ABC is like, yeah, we don't think it's true. So ask yourself, why then are they putting this guy who's known to be a liar on TV? And I go back, they have been putting lies on for the past 4 years, things they know are lies. And I think they just want to get this out there. And again, and the final question, rather than saying, Christopher Steele, don't you think you should go to jail for lying to the FBI? They say, so you think Trump is still a threat?
Yeah,
this is all a lie. It's all a lie. And he says, yes, Trump is still a threat to national security. I mean, it's, and the thing is that they just don't stop, right?
Well, but it's an embarrassment to George Stephanopoulos. Not that he can be embarrassed, but it's an embarrassment to ABC News. It's an embarrassment to Hulu. It's an embarrassment to the mainstream media. It's an embarrassment to the Democratic Party. But they're so far gone, they don't care.
And this is from Sandra, 2015, Stephanopoulos deception all over again. Absolutely. And Dr. Donna, pure political speak there. It is. And again, if there is any doubt, which there shouldn't be anymore, that some of these corporate media are just simply arms of big tech, of the Democrat Party, of this progressive agenda of rebuild
that better. Even then, they ought to do a better job of lying. I have to say the Democratic Party used to do a better job of lying. They used to be able to con people like yourself into saying that they care about the little person and they're there for the average American, you know, when they're not for anything but a few insiders and billionaires. I mean, it's they're not very good at it. And so bringing George Stephanopoulos and all these things in isn't going to save them. I mean, I don't save them from what, but it isn't, you know, they have no credibility. You don't look at George Stephanopoulos and just go, you're a joke.
Well, and there's something because I think the field of people who care what Christopher Steele has to say anymore is pretty small. And I think most of it are probably people like us, conservatives, people who follow the story, who know that he's lying. So I just want to bring it to your attention and say, and I just think something is up. There's something going on behind the scenes. This, the conservative treehouse found out, the actual Steele dossier, which you read, right, and said it's a joke. You can't find it online anymore. It's been scrubbed from, well, you can if you look hard, but there's a website called Scriven that basically posts a lot of these kind of documents. Right. And most news organizations just link to it anymore. And according to the conservative treehouse, the Steele dossier has been scrubbed. So I just wonder if this is part of a whole new twist. I don't know. Again, as they worry about Trump gearing up, you know, you got Joe Sakic saying, oh, yeah, that Chinese weapon thing. We welcome the competition.
We welcome the slaughtering, the butchery of Americans.
It's just how
make room for the new Americans we're bringing in.
It's like Donald Trump is the greatest threat to our national security. Give me a break. But lies, here's another one today. This is interesting. So over the Biden Justice Department's strenuous objections, the judge today had them release. This is going back to the January 6th. I don't know what you even want to call it. People at the Capitol. It was not an insurrection. And it was
incident.
A videotape will show. They had some, like, literally, it was like 1,400 hours of compilations of surveillance cameras all over. The Department of Justice didn't want anyone to see this. And when we play it for you here, you're going to understand why they didn't want anyone to see it. So what you're going to see, and we'll play the video and I'll kind of narrate over it for the people who are just listening because there isn't any audio. But once again, it shows that the mainstream media, the Democrats, lied about what was going on at the state capitol. They continue to report, and the Biden administration continues to say people died as a result of it. The only person who died was as a result of it was Ashley Babbitt, who was shot unarmed. She was completely unarmed by a Capitol Hill police officer, right? Who they decided, oh, he didn't do anything wrong. That's the only person who died. Even the New York Times has been forced to acknowledge in articles that most of the so-called insurrectionists were FBI informants who said,
our good friend Peter Boyles Absolutely. Although he hates the FBI and accuses them of everything in the world. No, no, they wouldn't have done that because why?
I mean,
why wouldn't they have done
that? The court documents, again, the court documents clearly show that they've been forced to say, as you know, and they're dropping all the charges against those people, some of whom are still being held in jail, by the way. That kid who shot people at the school,
he's out on bond.
But these guys who were at the Capitol, basically, you know, and we saw the people, the green protests last week trying to storm the interior department. That's okay. But the people of the Capitol, nope, they're still in jail. But as a court case proceeds, and thank God for these people who, rather than just pleading guilty, mm-hmm. are sticking up and saying, I'm not going to plead guilty. Some of the facts are coming out. And even some of the corporate media people have been forced to acknowledge, in spite of what Peter Boyles does or doesn't believe, that, yeah, a lot of these people were FBI informants. The FBI was in contact with them. The FBI They testified. Yeah, they pushed it along. They knew there was no strategy. There was no organization. There was no planning.
No conspiracy.
So there's no conspiracy.
Other than the FBI itself.
Yeah, the FBI conspiring.
All right,
yeah,
let's see this film, awful insurrectionists.
What you're going to see. Okay, now we'll have to narrate a little bit. Thomas, if we could play the No Breach video, please. So what you're seeing here, this is the Upper West Terrace interior. What you're going to see here, these are two Capitol Hill police guys opening the doors. Okay, they're opening the doors. You see some of the people milling around in the background going in. BuzzFeed calls them rioters. It's just, they don't look like they're rioting. No one's trying to stop them.
Come on in. Go ahead this way. Thank you.
Now the Capitol Hill police officer opens the door and lets a bunch of people go through the door. Doesn't try to stop them. They're kind of waving at him, saying,
These are insurrectionists.
Well, again, BuzzFeed called them the rioters.
Yeah.
These people aren't rioting. They're just wandering around Capitol Hill Police doing nothing. Okay, they're just kind of milling around now.
Trying to argue. I'm sure the Department of Justice has no shame, but kind of like, oh, no, we can't let these out.
Yeah.
These are way too dangerous.
So he goes up and he thanks the guy right there.
Yeah.
The rioter, so to speak, pats the Capitol Hill cop saying thank you. Okay, now this guy with the flag, what's going to happen is he's going to talk to the Capitol Hill police guy. And he's saying, okay, then watch. He says, okay, and he motions to his guys. And now we start seeing a parade of people start going through the doors that the Capitol Hill police officer is still holding open. There's no rioting. There's no discussion. There's the other Capitol Hill police officer. There's two cops standing there. Okay. Now we see people just start streaming in.
Hey, everybody. Hi.
There's no rioting. There's no breaking. The cops are just standing there. Meanwhile, you see the people walking up and down the stairs in the background.
This is awful. This is the worst thing since the Civil War.
You know, and again.
Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, worst thing since Pearl Harbor.
That's shocking. That's shocking. That level of violence and death and destruction.
Now, one of the congressional investigators who saw the original videotapes of the whole thing said through that one door, what you just saw, some 300 people all entered. They all entered patting the Capitol Hill police in the back saying, hey, thanks. Capitol Hill police saying, hey, come on in. I mean, there is no, I don't know how, you're the lawyer, Chuck. How on earth can you call that trespassing?
Well, it's whatever a court wants to
do. Well, I understand. But if you were a defense attorney, I mean, if I...
Well, assuming you had a decent judge and there are none in D.C. and assuming you had a fair jury, which you will not get, and everything else, I suppose it's almost impossible to call them riot or insurrectionists or anything else. But you know, that's why they get to keep them in jail for 10 months, because that level of violence, you don't want to let those people out.
And the people who then say, you know, who try to trap Republicans into saying, oh, it was an insurrection. It was an insurrection. And thank God for the Republicans who are saying, I'm not going to say it's an insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection. This videotape, all of the evidence coming out once again is proving that the mainstream, that number one, the Department of Justice, the Biden administration, Democrats, the corporate media, all have been lying from the very beginning about January 6th.
I can just see the arguments. No, this is critical information we must reserve for the trial. We can't have the public looking at this innocence.
Oh, yeah. It's like, and then Dr. Donna says, the guests walk between the roped off areas for pedestrians and define insurrection. Here's the thing. This was just people. If I open my door, if there are a bunch of people standing outside my house and they want to come in, and I open my door and I say, oh, yeah, come on in. And they say, thanks. And I go, no problem. And they all come in my house. That's not an insurrection. That's not a riot. And again, you can see, and we've seen those in the other tapes, the majority of people in there were just milling around. They've got that crazy guy with the Viking horns who was not a Trump supporter. He was at Black Lives Matter Antifa protests in other states before then. You've got FBI informants. I think as more facts come out, it's going to come out that some of the people who were committing some of the breaking of windows, because there was some of that. You could, there's other videotapes that show that. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the FBI or FBI or Antifa people just trying to make the Trump people look bad. And again, you can see why they didn't want to have that out. But that is yet another example of another lie, and that they know it's a lie. And again, the BuzzFeed article continues, it says, describing it, and it says, the rioters continued to stream into the Capitol. It's like, you know, what are they?
They're shameless.
No, they are shameless. They are shameless. Here's another lie. Okay, we're going to go to lies before John Conlon. So this just happened this afternoon. You guys know that federal employees have a union, right? It's an employee union. And the federal employee union bulletin today came out that said federal employees can be compensated for any injuries they receive as a result of the COVID vaccine, the mandated COVID vaccine. So you're a lawyer, and you've said all along that that's one of the bigger sticking points of this vaccine mandate. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, they can be compensated by who? I assume the federal government, not the manufacturers of the vaccines. And there are a significant number of injuries and deaths and everything else. So they can sue, I suppose, the federal government and get the money from the taxpayers, just as long as Big Pharma and Johnson & Johnson and everybody else doesn't have to pay any money. Everyone's happy.
Well, and again, here's the federal government. Oh, it's safe. Vaccine's safe. 100% safe. 100% effective. 100% safe. This is an acknowledgement, right, that there are going to be injuries. And this is an acknowledgement that the Federal Employees Union knew that there were injuries and wanted to be sure that they could take some action on behalf of their union members about the whole thing. How does that trickle down for private employers? I mean, I would imagine that's got to have a pretty significant. It's one thing if you got the taxpayers paying to compensate, but if you're a private company that can be sued.
Well, I don't know. You can see it'll be years of litigation, and you have to show that whatever injuries did come from the vaccine, which may be difficult. I don't know how the cause and effect of it. And then they'd have immunity or maybe implied immunity, but it's just all a con. It's just everything the federal government does these days is a con. Everything that Jen Psaki does is a con. I mean, you're out of your outrage that these crooked, amoral degenerates care about anything. I mean, they just don't. They just don't. And how you can back them, how you can say, oh, yeah, these are my people.
Sandra is saying, agree with you, Chuck. Yeah, even though they don't. Well, and that's true, Sandy, even though they don't need to follow the mask mandate. That's another thing, too, is, you know, we saw the pictures of Joe Biden and Jill Biden this weekend, even though there's a mask mandate for indoors at a restaurant in Georgetown, the Washington, D.C. area. They were inside the restaurant, not wearing masks. But here's a question I have to you, and if people want to weigh in on this too, and we've got some time, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. So by now we know, I mean, you can't even keep track of the levels of hypocrisy, the Obama party, right? Met Gala, right? Award French ceremonies. It goes, I mean, you know, mayor.
French Laundry restaurant, you know, it just goes on. Hickenlooper or in Hancock leaving the state while texting in to tell everybody they can't leave.
They
the
can't
city.
Travel. That's right. I mean, the hypocrisy goes on and on and on. And here it goes back to what you said, Chuck. And I'm wondering about, you know, again, truth straight up, the underlying reason why. The Democrats, I think, at this point know, and the media elite know that we see their hypocrisy now, and yet they don't care. And my question is, why do they not care? Do they just think people are so stupid? Are they going to go along with them enough?
No, they'll just rig anything. They'll just rig whatever they need. They'll get Zuckerberg, give another $500 million to politicize all of the election facilities. I mean, they believe in, they never have. I mean, you know, you're always part of a corrupt, amoral group of people, Julie, in the Democratic Party. They always were.
You know, I'm going to argue a little. Well, maybe. When they weren't as bad as they are now.
They were better at lying back then, but that's about it.
Well, why do you think, I mean, that is my great fear, I'll be honest there, that the reason they have dropped the pretense even of caring, you know, like I said, the Jen Psaki would get out there and talk about where everybody else is saying this whole Chinese missile thing is a pretty concerning, apparently, because it's technology that apparently the Americans, we don't know how to counter yet. Mm-hmm. And her response is, we welcome the competition. It's like, as long as they have a very diverse board on their missile, I mean, you know, I mean, it's
got some Uyghurs.
They're the slaves and everything, but you know, I mean, they have dropped, it seems to me, all pretense of that they care for anyone at all except for their own power and elite. And my concern is, like you said, that the reason they're doing that is because they believe bulletproof, that they're rigged. I'm reading the Molly Hemingway book Rigged, which is actually really interesting. We'll be doing some segments on that. You kind of outlines. She does some segments where the book is about the various things that the Democrats did in 2016. I mean, her whole premise, which is true, actually, is that the whole thing was over by Election Day, right? Yes, she said it was done. The rigging been done. It just all came to fruition then.
Yes.
And it's pretty interesting when you look at the things that they did. And again, how anyone could read this and say that's not rigged. Is, you know, I mean,
they just fought harder, trained longer, did more bag work.
I think that, the Republicans have to wake up. Every Republican county chair.
Well, let me tell you, they will not wake up. I decided to write my editorial this month, or our editorial
for the newspaper.
For the newspaper, and I was saying one of two things. One, that, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and now a year and a half later, what if we'd done nothing? And we'd have a much more prosperous, happy country. Or the other one is how the Republicans have sold out in Colorado all the time. This LEAP initiative, supported by the chairman of the Republican Party, supported by the last Republican and only living governor, supported by Hank Brown, supported by George Brockler. And it's just an utter sellout. It's an absolute sellout to Democrats.
So vote no on Prop 119, by the way.
Don't bother.
Chuck, stop it. Chuck's in a bad place. Chuck, you're not going to be able to talk. Everyone can't listen to Chuck today. No, you have to bother to vote. I mean, if you don't bother to vote.
Well, it doesn't, you know, you've seen advertisements on 119 with a very old-looking Federico Pena who's had a lot of work done.
Yeah.
And then you saw earlier one of conservatives. You've seen one advertisement against.
Well, who's going to bid? No, it's a grassroots. But I mean, you still have to vote and vote no one. What this is, and then we'll get John Conlon on the line. It's an initiative that would. They
$150 million up to $500 million slush fund Republicans every day out of marijuana money. I mean, it's just
and they're going to use it to create a board that will
appointed by POLIS and then reappointed by themselves. And
what they're selling it on is that they're going to it's to help kids outside of the normal school day. Yeah. But what it does is it's not going to be vouchers to parents. Okay. People are confused about that. What it's going to be is the board will pick which groups it gives the money to, and then it'll send your kid, if you want to those groups. Now, granted, the groups are going to get the money, I think, regardless of how many kids are there, right? The tax is going to come in. So these groups are going to get the money, and it's just a front for critical race theory, equity.
Corruption.
Right.
And everything else, but the Republicans, I mean, Hank Brown, isn't Hank great? Owens, isn't he great?
There's a reason, Bill Owens, that you're the last living Republican governor, okay? Yeah. And if Republicans don't wake up, I mean, you know, they'll be one day, they'll be sitting around the fireplace, great-grandparents telling their kids, once upon a time, there was a Republican governor. They're like, no, you're kidding me. Was that in the dinosaur age? Kind of. It was sort of like that, you know. It's just ridiculous. If you want to go ahead and give John a call now, that would be, we're about a minute early, but that would be okay. And we'll talk to him about his column. Then the other thing too, I want to talk about later is, speaking of the whole COVID mess, is Colin Powell died at 84. Now, his family says, and I'd be curious to see exactly what his family says, right? Or what the PR company says, that he died of complications from COVID. Well, he died, as I understand, he had Parkinson's disease and he had blood cancer. So my guess would be he died more as a result of complications from Parkinson's and blood cancer than he did from COVID. But maybe he had COVID And when you have cancer,
which is amazing because he took all the shots, so he should have been all set for it, you know. I mean,
well, but the mainstream media is all posing this as, so this means all of you guys better go out, get your booster shot. So it's like, wait a minute. So I should get a booster shot to boost my immunity from a vaccine that isn't a vaccine. It's a gene therapy that apparently did not give me immunity in the first place.
Doesn't work.
After a matter of a few months. It's like, and you notice, again, they bury any and all studies and any and all information about what about the people who have natural immunity? What about that, right? If Colin Powell had had COVID, I mean, you don't want to go
this,
there.
This is great from Dr. Dona. What is enrichment opportunity? it's inadvertently, I mean, they're talking about enrichment of education, but if they really mean for themselves.
It's an enrichment opportunity.
Enrichment opportunity for them.
Dr. Donna, we got to get ourselves in on some enrichment opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also agree with your comment, most correct, that Colin Powell died with COVID rather than from it. Absolutely. Okay, we've got John Conlon on the line with us. John is a local commentator, author, has a great new column up in American Greatness, Lost in Space. Hey, John, thank you once again for your time this afternoon. Appreciate it.
Hi, Chuck and Julie. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
So I love the beginning of your column because I'm a Star Trek fan, longtime Star Trek fan myself. And as you were saying, I'm sitting here watching a missile or rocket launch into space with James T. Kirk on it. And you're like, and this is amazing. So why don't you sort of talk about your column and the whole thoughts behind it?
It was just kind of a flow of the moment commentary. I was sitting at my kitchen table and had the TV on and was kind of watching the, Blue Horizon liftoff with William Shatner, Captain Kirk on it. Just kind of enjoying that and, you know, watching the amazing engineering that goes into that, private enterprise driving them up, the landing, when the booster rocket lands itself. I mean, that's a massive piece of equipment plummeting to Earth and it lands itself. It's just so amazing. And I look at my computer and my laptop and say, these things had the power of a supercomputer had only a few decades ago. And you look at just all the wonders of modern life and how wonderful our existence is. And there's reasons for that. But at the same time, half the population can't seem to tell a boy from a girl anymore and believes, you know, feeding 6-year-old hormones to change their lives forever makes sense. And, you know, politicians championing economic and political beliefs that have never worked in the history of humanity. And you look at our public school systems, which are a failure across the board. And it's just such a dichotomy of, on one hand, the wonders that modern science, modern thinking, whether it's tolerance, wealth, the most diverse society the world's ever seen, on one hand. On the other hand, it's like, the example I use in the article is, it's like we've become spoiled rich children who we don't really know why we're rich and we don't really know where the wealth comes from. We just assume it's always been that way and it will always be that way. And we make stupid choices in life. And it seems that's where a good chunk of our society has gone. And it's just another wake-up call that you guys do on a regular basis of, my God, we can't continue with this.
Yeah.
Oh, we can.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Chuck, Mr. Optimism. Yeah, good point.
Oh, we absolutely can. I mean,
not indefinitely, though.
Well,
things always work right up until the moment they don't work anymore, though. So some of us, I think you guys would agree, is we don't want to go where that place is because it will be a very, very unpleasant situation.
It won't be particularly more unpleasant. The one thing about human nature, the one thing about humans, is that they were not meant to be happy. They're not meant to be in. You know,
Chuck has to say, then John will rebut him.
No, don't rebut me.
Don't rebut you. Everyone's voice is welcome, Chuck, especially your co-host.
I mean, the human condition is one of misery.
It's misery and sorrow.
Life is a bitch, and then you die. I mean, that is the nature of human beings. I mean,
you should go, Chuck, go outside and look at this glorious day.
I've done lots of things.
It doesn't matter.
Human beings are never satisfied. It's why we're the apex predator, but it's also why we're always miserable.
But it's also
human beings are by their nature miserable.
No, they're not. All right, Chuck.
Most men live lives of quiet desperation. What do you think?
But Chuck, you have to admit, Chuck, this is also the society that brings us let's go Brandon. So there are positives out there.
And well, you're right, and it's tipping. It's
of course there are, but all the wealth, all the science, all of everything will never result in human happiness.
Okay.
Which is why the question, which is never answered in modern times, but how then shall we live? How then shall we live? How does human happiness at the best result from? And almost never ask that. You know why? What would make people happiest? Well, it's usually the things we're trying to destroy, like families, like children, like everything
else.
I
get to talk. No, and then, John, yes, I do. Because I would say, no, Chuck, some of it is there are personalities involved. So you people, if anyone wants to send me, you know, a sympathy card, you can. No, I'm kidding. So Chuck and I have these discussions all the time. I think that for most part, lives can also be not like quiet desperation, but joyful expectations. And there's a mix of things that go on. And I think, John, what your column talks about is you sort of commingle these two theories, right? That we had all these joyful expectations and look what we created. And then but you've got this sort of quiet desperation in the meantime, sort of doing what it can to trash it. And it's going to be which wins, I think. Well, I think we are in a struggle.
It's always been there, and it'll always be there. It's just the very nature of our existence. And one thing I've noticed in John's column, what I agreed with, which is saying, you know, we're on the edge of learning incredible things about our universe and nature, except when you really look at it, is we've never been farther away from understanding the nature of a universe. If the way we view our universe is increasingly seen as not how it is. What's more important, all that blank space out there or the planets? Well, modern science will tell you all that blank space because that's the field. So those little clumps of matter are unimportant. So we understand nothing. It's like Albert Einstein said, we picked up a shell on the seashore and think we understand the ocean. We understand very, very little, and we're just understanding more how very, very little we understand.
But for that, for the happiness and the joyousness, Chuck, I think if you'd go back, let's go back 200 years, 300 years, and compare that time to today by almost any measure. Now, granted, spoiled people can be jaded and unhappy, but by almost any measure, society, human existence is far, 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 far greater, far more joyous. The knowledge and the wealth that we have at our fingertips. And the problem is that you guys rail against is we have a large segment of our population who believes that you can ignore reality and bad things won't happen. And yes, bad things will happen. Now, Chuck might think the bad things will be way over here. Julie and I might think, well, maybe not quite that bad. But we all agree that ignoring reality ends poorly for us all.
Well, do you really think that someone growing up on a New England farm and living on the land and creating crops and having a happy family is somehow miserable compared to today's existence?
I believe that one out of four women died in childbirth. And, 75%.
Okay, one in four women died in childbirth. Then you don't have to worry
maybe
about it anymore.
Not,
you're dead.
Maybe.
Children anyway.
Maybe it's not.
They had lots of children. And now human misery is brought by the fact they have no children. They live their whole life barren and never have a child. Why is that more happy and glorious?
Oh, and maybe I would say this, maybe happy is not. I would agree, because I'm the nice one, I would agree kind of with both of you. I think easier would certainly be better. I think by any stretch of the imagination, particularly, for instance, this is silly, but I've been living without a dishwasher now for 2 months. It's totally my own fault. I'm like, why do I not have a dishwasher? But I think bad
not
joke.
Me.
I know it's not Chuck. Chuck says, go buy a dishwasher. When I was a kid, I mean, I remember I was the oldest of five. So we have seven members in our family. My mom stayed home and cooked. And we did not have a dishwasher for a long time. The dishwashers were me and my sister. And I got to tell you what, it was a happy day. I remember it when we got a dishwasher. It was certainly.
That is not made for your life happiness.
Well, it did. It did if you're the one doing the dishwashing.
this one's for Chuck. how do you turn a dishwasher into a snowblower? You give her a shovel.
That would also be true at our house.
That would also be true.
This is here from Charlene. When the greedy get too evil and powerful, resist like Ryan, to the evil have to support themselves instead of grifting. That's where we're headed, Charlene. I think you're right. When even the Biden administration realizes it doesn't work today, you know, they have all this talk about forgiving student debt, right? Well, as you can imagine, some of the banks and other people have been concerned about that. So headline in Politico is like Biden administration quietly thinking of how to reimpose, you know, the student loan payments once they come in February, because sooner or later, you're right. I mean, the rich spoiled kids, they're living off of somebody else. And as the money starts to go away, and I think you're absolutely right on this, John, that you're going to end up looking around going, whoa, wait a minute. You know,
how do you recommend we change this dystopian future we appear to be heading for, John?
Well, keep listening to people like you and Julie.
There you go. I heard that one. Yeah, that would be keep, the key to happiness.
Understand that individual freedom, which demands limited government, is really the only long-term choice for a society or even a species that hopes to be long-lived. And then I think that's, you know, vote, fight the good fight. It'd be nice if more Republicans actually believed in individual freedom and limited government. But, you know, it is what it is. And we get up and fight the fight. And I think, obviously, we have to fix the public education system. And the only way to truly do that quickly and certainly is to bring true freedom to it. Give the $15,000 a year per child that's spent per kids to the parents and let them control where it's spent. And in a matter of a year or two, it will transform public education.
You know, I think you're right. I think it would happen quickly. We're seeing already what happens when you have these school boards, which are largely just, you know, instruments of teachers' unions, where they, you know, they're facing this backlash and like, how come everyone hates us now? And you've got parents, you know, when you've got school boards saying things like the parents shouldn't have a say, that kind of the people who do still have kids take their kids seriously and they love them and they want a good future for them. And the vast majority of them are going to stand up. And I think you're right. If you let the parents pick their kids' education, I think for the most part, they would pick something that they sincerely felt was not good for PC correctness and not going to look good, you know, to their little, you know, soccer mom coffee clutch, but would be the best for their children, I think, anyway.
And some will pick poorly.
Well, yeah,
right, exactly.
They all get poor. Yeah.
Now, yeah, exactly. Let people make poor choices. That generally is self-correcting. And, you know, so many of the cultural friction happens because you force somebody to do what they don't want to do. With freedom, you don't have that problem. If you want to send your kid to the, you know, gay, transgendered library hour, God bless you, go do it. But other people might not choose to make that choice. And that gets rid of a lot of the cultural friction out there, too.
You know what else I think is another thing that you hit on a little bit in your column, and that is, and this comes from another science fiction book that I read. It's about dragons. I won't go into it all. But what happens is as centuries and centuries go by, the dragons attack these planets, and they used to know how to protect the planet, but so many centuries went by, they didn't have any dragon attacks. People quit believing there were even going to be, it's Anne McCaffrey wrote them, dragon attacks. And then all of a sudden, boom, the dragons start attacking again, and everybody's like, whoa, what do we do? And all of the people who knew how to protect the planet have lost their skill. They've been ostracized. They've been ridiculed. They've been called conspiracy theorists, right? And no one knew how to do it anymore. And I think we have that happening. And I think in education...
What do you have?
Well, I mean, think about it. If we were to lose... I mean, do you even know what my actual phone number is? So, think of that. If you... Okay, you maybe do, but if you... I couldn't call hardly anyone except for my daughter and Chuck if I didn't have my cell phone, right? I don't know their actual phone number. I just have my phone that says Chuck or whatever, right? I mean, little things like that too, let alone how to fix it if it breaks or, you know, if the electricity goes out or anything like that, that we have lost in this society. And I think this is just the elite folks, but the any kind of respect and honor for the people who actually do things in this country, for the people who get stuff done, who build stuff, who know how to fix stuff, who understand, you know, like Rev was saying, well, how does the TV work? I'm like, well, little elves in there transmit magical waves and they turn into video games. I mean, you know, I mean, it's about as close as I could get to how it works. And I think that's another thing that education, you know, they want to teach all these kids critical race theory, but they don't teach them how to fix anything or how to do anything, anything practical. You know what I mean?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. And going back to that spoiled rich society that we are, so many people have, like you said, have lost touch with the whole process of how things happen. You know, right. Electricity to them comes out of the socket. You know, milk right. comes from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand all those things that go on. I have a philosophy. That's one of the reasons so much of the country is red and only the large urban centers are blue, is because when you live in a monster city, you don't really see, you know, the cause and effect. Whereas if you live out where I come from, LaSalle, Colorado, you understand agriculture, at least to some degree, because it's happening around you. They're harvesting corn now. They're harvesting the right. potatoes. You know, they're cutting the corn for the cattle feed. You see those things. And so you understand those things. Whereas if you live in a city, like I said, it's magic. Electricity comes out of, it just shows up, you know. That's the reason we can have electrical cars and say there's zero emission.
Right. And these are the people who really are not that inconvenienced when you can't go to work, or they're not that inconvenienced when everyone is locked down, right?
They still. Well, how many people over 1,000 know how electricity works?
Over 1,000 years old?
No. No, 1 in 1,000.
Oh, 1 in 1,000.
Do you have any idea how electricity works?
No, it's got something to do with circuits and magic elves. And no.
Movement of electrons.
Well, that's a circuit. No, I know. And I guess that's my point is I think that, and again, you look at, you know, when they say like the supply chain problem, it's a high class problem, right? Well, they forget that there are people who are needed to do all of those things. And Joe Biden would say, poof, ports are open 24/7, but that doesn't solve the problem. And the fact that you've got Pete Buttigieg thinking that it's more important to be on family paid leave than it is to fix everything for all the people who can't, you know, who need to buy
Christmas
presents.
You're not attacking Mayor Pete.
I am.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
But I mean, that sort of shows where the Democrats are. And I think, John, it gets to what you were saying. They're like spoiled rich kids. Don't know where it came from. Don't care where it came from. And all they know is that they're better than everybody else, and you know, and everybody should put their mask on.
Do what I say, and the world would be a better place, is what they think. And you know, Bernie Sanders has no idea how to create wealth. He's never had a real job in his life. AOC, good God, she has a degree in economics, but that's just frightening on so many levels. But, you know, these people, they throw around $1 trillion. They have no idea what the number a trillion is. It's just a number. It just, you know.
Well, I love Yarmouth, who's now retiring, but he's head of the budget committee. He said, we're the federal government. We can afford whatever we want. If it's $4 billion, $4 billion is 44 quadrillion, 44. We just print it, you know.
Right.
And then someday.
It's just, that's easy. It does indeed grow on trees.
It has been working, you know.
Well, and then
it's just like those rich kids, when all of a sudden the shit hits the fan and they don't know what to do, it's the same thing there. It's like, oh my gosh, you mean you can't just keep printing money? And they, you know, there are adults somewhere in the room, hopefully, that do understand all these things. But of course, you know, power and wealth.
Yeah. You're gonna, the smartest man in the world, Hunter Biden.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to, like you said, this ignoring of reality, right? Ignoring that little boys, for the most part, are different in many ways than little girls. That's, in fact, what makes the whole thing keep working, right? And when we, you know, just try to, like you said, they want to try all of these systems that never worked before. Well, they want to destroy the one system that we know does work, and that's the family unit. You know, they're not kidding about build back better, you know, and only it's not going to be better, I'm afraid.
No, and it risks a great deal. I mean, you know, it's easier to break things than it is to build them and fix them. So yeah. We would be wise to not break this too seriously. I mean, from a positive side, you know, our side's the one that has all the guns and the ammo, so that's a positive thing. But I would prefer we don't have to go that path.
Yeah, we'll try to take them away.
Well, John, where can people see that? This great column up, Lost in Space and American Greatness. Where else can people find you and read you?
My website, eicenterprises.org, or just Google my name, John Conlin, C-O-N-L-I-N, and you'll find me out there.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
you, John. Appreciate
your
time. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, guys, and take care. And, of course, let's go, Brandon.
There you go. All right. And then that's where we'll read some of the comments here. This is from Jim. Chuck, what brings at least temporary satisfaction and happiness is individual accomplishment, overcoming problems through your own effort. Jim, that's absolutely right. I agree with that. And that's one of the reasons the Democrats want to say, you just stay home and don't do anything and we'll give you money. They want to discourage that kind of thing. So you turn to them for everything.
And you have to have the ability to fail, or then there is no accomplishment.
That's right. And this from Sandra, one only needs to read One Second After by William Forsten to open one's eyes. Sandra, I haven't heard of that. We'll have to talk to you more about that later because we're kind of running out of time. And this Dr. Donna, and what has kept things from becoming too nasty, the Second Amendment. That's true. Well, I think Chuck is at least hopeful sometimes about his golf swing.
Not too much
these days. He's hopeful about revs. He's not hopeful about my golf swing. No. And now I'm going to become, now that you have John's joke, I'll be the snowblower, the dishwasher. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening. Yeah, thank you to John.
Appreciate all of you.
We have Dr. Brian Junedep coming on. You might be surprised to hear this. The big pharma companies, the Democrats, now say aspirin, all those decades you've been told that maybe they could be good for you, maybe take them. No, it's going to kill you, just like ivermectin. We'll be talking to him about that on Wednesday, too. So have a great day.
Take care, everyone. We'll see you Wednesday.